All right. So our next little talk is on lying children. Maybe I should have called it pants on fire or something like that. And I just want to note that I've tried to do these three talks that are coming up as 15-minute talks. And if you've ever done talks, 15 minutes is a really weird time. I've never done 15-minute talks. So bear with me. I hope it sort of works. It gives you the illusion of having time to say something. So we'll see what happens. But let's have a look at lying children. Now, if you have children, you will find that they lie to you. Sometimes this will be lying about something non-sinful, which doing the lying is a sin, but it might just be saying they didn't do something but the thing that they did wasn't sinful in and of itself. Or more often, I think it'll be lying related to some sort of sin. Truth-telling is not something that comes naturally to sinners. When our children are born, they are born as sinful children of Adam, and that means that they will default to lying. Psalm 58, verse 3 says it this way: "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies." They do this, as I mentioned, because they're children of Adam. Not only is the truth something they do not value because of their sinful nature, they will also have a strong desire to hide their sin. This leads to more lies. They get this impulse from their first father. Genesis 3:10 says, "So Adam said, 'I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself.'" The point is, we shouldn't be surprised when our kids lie. In fact, it's quite the opposite. We should be surprised when they tell us the truth. We should be shocked when our kids confess their sin freely and without twisting anything. That would be an unusual thing. So lying is something that you're going to see all the time. And I just want to consider what to do about this in 3 points. The first is that we must be committed to biblical justice. So the biggest difficulty I find when dealing with a child who might be lying is actually working out if they are lying. This is really important to work out. We can't just discipline our kids for lying because we have a hunch that they might be lying. We need to be sure they are lying before we can discipline them for it. And I'm assuming that if you find out that your kid is lying, you will discipline them. I'm not going to cover that. Do that. That's assumed. The reason, though, that we can't discipline unless we're certain is that God values the truth. That's why lying is so offensive and sinful in the first place. We know that God values the truth because of his law. In fact, the commandment that we would typically turn to regarding lying is set in the context of judging whether or not someone has done something wrong judicially. The 9th commandment is, "You shall not bear false witness," like in court. "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." And there's an expansion of that law in Deuteronomy 19, 15 to 20, where God requires more than one witness to find someone guilty. Particularly for the death sentence. He says, "By the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established." Now, when you come, or when I come to deal with my child, and I think they're lying, and I'm trying to work out what's going on, I'm in the position of prosecutor. I'm accusing them of something. I'm in the position of judge. I'm going to deal out a sentence. And I'm in the position of jury. I'm going to make a decision as to whether or not it's right that they've done the right thing or not. So if I suspect that my child is lying but I can't prove it, and so I discipline them for it anyway, "Well, you must have done something wrong," and give it to them, then what sort of judge am I being? Am I being a judge that values truth? Am I bringing a false charge against my child? Am I bearing false witness without evidence? Well, I think I would be. My point is, justice must be biblical. Now, that raises all sorts of problems, doesn't it? Because you've still got a child in front of you who you think might be lying, but you can't prove it. Well, there's a few things to remember here. The first is to remember that God is the one who will judge all things ultimately. Hebrews 4:13 says, "No creature is hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." This means that God is the one who will ultimately bring all things to account. The implication is for parents that it's not our job to make sure that every single sin in our child's life is dealt with and punished. That's impossible for a start. There are many sins in our children that we will never know, and our judgment will always be flawed. So if God in his sovereignty, he's the one who's ordered all things, and this child who's come in front of you with all the information that you know about this situation, if he's sovereignly made it so that you don't have enough information to work out whether or not that child is lying, we can rest in the fact that God does know and God will judge. And we can even tell our children this truth. Look, I don't know if you're telling the truth or not. There's a few things that make me a little suspicious here, but I just can't work it out. And so I'm not going to discipline you this time, but I want you to know that God knows. And if you're telling the truth, that's great. But if you're lying, the Bible promises that God will bring all things to an account. And you can't hide from him. The second thing to remember is that we believe in a sovereign God. This means that we believe in a God who can order things and structure things so that things do come to light. And so if we suspect our children are in this habit of lying, and it happens often, we should pray. Lord, please make things clear. If anything needs to be known, make it clear to me, please. And we can trust that God will answer a prayer like that. So, first thing when it comes to biblical children is that we must be committed to biblical justice. We can't judge without knowing. The second thing to consider when thinking about children and lying is that we can do a lot of teaching about lying without actually knowing whether or not they're lying in a particular situation. There's two main truths I want to just highlight there. First, we should teach our children that covering sin, that lying to cover sin, never does any good. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." And we need to teach our children that truth. Do our children know that confession of sin is the way to life and mercy and forgiveness? And that lying and covering sin is the way to death and condemnation? Do we warn them of this like the father in Proverbs warned his children? Another way you can teach children about the consequences of lying and that covering sin results in death is to look at stories. There's plenty of stories in the Bible that you can go to that will show kids that lying is something that results in pain and suffering. I mean, consider the story of David and Bathsheba, for instance. David covered up his sin, which resulted in the destruction of his household. Absalom's rebellion was a direct result of David's sin there. The child that Bathsheba had before Solomon, his death was a result of David's sin there. But when David uncovered his sin and confessed, you can read in Psalm 51 and other Psalms as well, that God was so ready to forgive. And that the anguish that he felt inside and the rotting away of his bones that lying tends to do was released. And he had freedom in that regard. So his deception and murder and adultery still had consequences, but David's soul was free when he brought his sin to God and begged for forgiveness. That's a great story to show kids. I mean, the stories, like I mentioned in Scripture, just abound. You can look at Abraham and him lying about his wife ends up with his wife getting taken by another bloke. Joseph's brothers covering sin results in their father having grief, then living in fear when they come before Joseph. Ananias and Sapphira is another example. And there are stories outside of Scripture that you can look to as well. But stories that teach the consequences of lying, help our kids see what lying looks like from the outside. When you're in the situation, it always seems like lying's the right option, right? I don't want to be found out. But when you're looking in from the outside, you can see that it's ugly. You can see that it's got consequences, that it's not a good thing. But the point is that the consequences of lying is something that we should teach our children, and it's something that they need to repeatedly be told. Every instinct inside of them will be screaming out to hide, to cover, to lie. It goes entirely against our sinful nature to come to the light and to tell the truth and to uncover what is hidden. So we should speak to our children about these truths. Another truth that we can teach our children is to love and value truth. So to see that the lying's bad, it has bad consequences, and that truth is something that's beautiful and good. One way that's very simple to emphasize this is to point out that God is truth. God is a God of truth is a one-liner I say to my kids often. God is a God of truth, so we should love truth like he loves truth. Consider Deuteronomy 32, 3-4, for example, where the Lord says, "I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he." Because God is truth, he tells us that he hates lies. Proverbs 12:22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight." He loves truth because he is truth. And that's something very easy to teach children and to continually reinforce. Our children should know that God is a truthful God, a truth-loving God, a God of truth. Do we emphasize that to our kids regularly? And it's something you can emphasize even when you're just reading the scriptures. If you read the Bible out, you can say, "This is truth. We know it's truth because it comes from God, and God always tells the truth. He always keeps his promises. He loves truth." So there's a lot of teaching that we can do about lying that's independent of whether or not we can work out whether a child is lying. Now, the last thing I want to say about lying and children is about our example. We should be those who love truth. Children learn a lot about how important anything is by watching us. Your example is probably the number one thing, like Shane was saying, in parenting. In fact, it's hard to do, but every now and then I'll get frustrated at my kids for something that they're doing. And then I'll realise, oh, I've been doing that for like the last month and they've just picked up on it. "Why are you yelling?" "Oh, okay, it's because I've been yelling." But lying's the same. If we see our children lying a lot, we should be asking ourselves, what example are we setting? If our children see us treating the truth lightly, they will learn to do the same. "The sins of the fathers are visited on the children," is the way the scripture puts it. We treat the truth lightly in many ways. Sometimes we lie directly to our children. Perhaps we want to get them to do something, and so we give them an empty threat. And they learn that, you know, whenever Dad threatens stuff, he's just telling a lie. Perhaps we just want to avoid the truth because we don't want to deal with whatever the truth will result in, you know. We don't tell them that their sister went to a party while they missed out. We make up some other story to avoid the inevitable fireworks. "That's not fair. Why didn't I get to go to a party?" You know. Sometimes we treat the truth lightly by being two-faced. Like Shane mentioned, we're perfect angels at church and then perfect devils at home. And our children learn that you can put on a face and cover things up, and it's fine to do that. I'm sure you can think of many other ways, but the point is that if we want our children to love the truth, then we must love the truth as well. And the last thing in terms of our example is to think about, how do you respond when your child does tell the truth? When your child confesses a sin, do you respond in a way that teaches them to never do that again? You know, think about how God responds when we confess sin to him. When we come to God and confess sin, we know that he is willing and ready to forgive. Think of the father in the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son's just wished his father dead and wasted all his money and comes back to confess his sin to his father, and the father's running out to greet him. So ready to forgive. When we come to God to confess our sin, we don't find him flying into a fit of rage at what we've done. He's never surprised at what you've done. He's never shocked. He's never so offended that he can't forgive. Quite the opposite. He's so willing to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we just come to him and confess our sin. You can read 1 John 1:9 for that. We should want to be like God is to our children. When they confess a sin, we should be calm and ready to forgive. When they get caught in a lie and confess the truth, we should be calm and ready to forgive. We should be giving our children no reason to cover their sin, and as we do that, we'll be preaching the gospel to them, because we will be pointing them to a God who loves to forgive when sinful people bring their sins to the light. I'll just close again with Proverbs 28:13. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses them and forsakes them will have mercy. There you go. Lying children. I hope that's some helpful thoughts there. We have another break. This one.